Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is joining a bipartisan coalition of more than 40 attorneys general. They're calling on the streaming industry to limit tobacco use in their video content. In a statement, Call said they are, quote, asking streaming services to take steps that can help save lives. Last month, the group Truth Initiative released a report showing that many of the top streaming shows popular with young people depict smoking prominently, and they say that's putting kids and teens at risk. Barbara Schillo joins us now. She's vice president of the Truth Initiative's Schroeder Institute for Tobacco Studies and was a contributor to the group's recent report, While You Were Streaming, Smoking on Demand, A Surge in Tobacco Imagery is Putting Youth at Risk. Barbara, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, before we get into smoking on streaming in particular, what do we know about the connection of kids, young people, seeing smoking on a screen and being influenced to maybe try it themselves?
Well, we actually know quite a lot. There's really well-documented research that shows that exposure to smoking imagery directly influences youth smoking behaviors. And we really applaud the 46 attorney generals who signed on to that letter that you mentioned and really cite this very research showing that according to the Surgeon General, youth with more exposure to tobacco in movies are twice as likely to begin smoking compared to those with less exposure. And we know that relationship is causal. And that's why we here at Truth and many of our colleagues and allies in this effort together really care about the findings that we saw in our most recent research.
Let's take this, into the streaming world and this report. A lot of people have watched that we get our content by streaming on Netflix or Hulu or whatever. What did you find when you looked at the original programming coming from these streaming services?
Well, so here's what we did. We took the 13 most popular shows with 15 to 24-year-olds, and we coded complete seasons, the most recent season available, and we coded those episodes for tobacco imagery depictions. Could be an individual cigarette, a pack, or other tobacco products. In the analyses that we've done so far, primarily what we're seeing is cigarettes. In the most recent report that we've released, in the 2019 report that was just released last month, found that 92% of the shows that are most popular with young people in this age group on both streaming and broadcast and cable outlets depicted smoking prominently. And that was up from a previous study that we did last year. In 2018, we first did this research. This recent report is a new release and an update to those previous findings. And what we're finding is that there's actually an increase, a 16% increase in the percent of shows showing depiction. And if you break that down, it translates into some incredible numbers. You know, approximately 28 million young people having been exposed to tobacco use based on what we estimate the viewership of these 13 shows to be.
I understand one of the big culprits was the very popular show Stranger Things, which has a pretty strong youth audience. Can you talk about what you saw there?
Yeah, that's right, Rob. And we released this report back in the early part of July, right about the time that Netflix was releasing Stranger Things. And what we saw is that the first two seasons of Stranger Things had tobacco depiction in every episode. Season 2, which was analyzed and presented in our most recent report, showed 262 tobacco depictions compared to 182 in Season 1. So, and this was before, of course, the release of Season 3. We'll see what that looks like in terms of moving forward. Netflix, content on Netflix represented sort of our list of top offenders, with Stranger Things topping that list, but then followed by The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Orange is the New Black, and The House of New Cards.
Talking to Barbara Schillo from the Truth Initiative's Schroeder Institute for Tobacco Studies, looking at the impact of the portrayal of smoking and other tobacco use in media and pop culture, especially shows targeted at younger people. Barbara, some people might say, okay, a show like Stranger Things that's set in the 80s where more people smoked, as I dimly recall. You could look at a show like Mad Men where they showed people smoking a lot. Is there an argument to be made, hey, it's just depicting the reality at the time the show is covering?
You know, certainly there is a case to be made for historical depictions, but we think the instances that we've coded, that we've seen and analyzed, are pervasive and go way beyond historical accuracy. I mean, back in the days of Mad Men, yes, 50% of adults smoked, but not every adult smoked. And so certainly, again, we feel that there's room in all of this for historical accuracy and historical depictions. But what we're seeing is well beyond that in terms of content and just the amount that you're seeing in the streaming content.
We've seen some specific calls for change from your organization and from that letter we've been talking about from attorney generals, including Wisconsin's own. They want, among other things, streaming services to eliminate or exclude tobacco in imagery in all future original stream content for young viewers, including any content related TVY through PG-13, and ensure that content with tobacco imagery receives a mature rating. What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, if you look at our report and our call to action, if you will, many of the recommendations that are outlined by the attorney generals mirror or are reflected or match closely with those that we call as well. I mean, clearly content is being produced and delivered differently than how it was in the past. And we know that 87% of 15 to 24-year-olds are accessing their content online. In fact, 61% of young adults report that online streaming is the primary mechanism for how they're viewing their entertainment. And so we really need to stay on top of these streaming services in terms of the call for action here, as there's a responsibility, clearly, for the health impacts that they have for their viewership.
You've mentioned that age range a couple times, 15 to 24. Why is that such a key age range to worry about?
Well, when you look at tobacco use, typically the majority of tobacco users are established tobacco users by the time that they're 26. So this is the period of initiation. This is the period in which youth are susceptible to the renormalization, the glamorization of tobacco in the movies, in streaming content. And so this is a particularly important age in terms of how we view this issue.
In your report, I think you described the presentation of tobacco use in these shows as, in effect, free advertising for the tobacco industry. Can you talk about that?
Well, certainly. You know, we have made tremendous gains over time in reducing the harms of tobacco, in particular among youth and young people. We have combustible rates of tobacco at historic lows, but those didn't happen by accident. We had diligent efforts, concerted efforts to really look at how tobacco has been depicted historically and made some real progress in the past on TVs and movies. But as, again, content and production of entertainment has changed, we feel essentially that this is giving the tobacco industry essentially a free ride. Content has become, in some ways, the new tobacco commercial, and we worry about this pervasive reemergence of smoking imagery across screens. Again, that's glamorizing and renormalizing a deadly addiction. I think it's a reminder for all of us that care about this issue and care about the health of young people and future generations that we can't sit back. As technology changes, as culture changes, we're forever challenged or continue to be challenged to do right by future generations.
We're talking right now with Barbara Schillow of the Truth Initiative's Schroeder Institute for Tobacco Studies, talking about the relationship between tobacco imagery and popular streaming shows and movies and tobacco use. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is one of many AGs across the country signing onto a letter calling for a change. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen this when you watch shows on TV, streaming, or network? Have you seen more tobacco use depicted maybe on the shows you watch? Does it bother you at all or not? Do content creators, do the streaming services have a responsibility to crack down on these depictions or maybe put on warning messages? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Barbara Schillow of the Truth Initiative's Schroeder Institute for Tobacco Studies. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has joined a bipartisan coalition of more than 40 attorneys general calling on the streaming video industry to limit tobacco use in their content, and we're finding out why that is. You can join in at 800-642-1234. when you watch your favorite show streaming or new stuff on networks, do you see a lot of smoking or other tobacco use? Does it bother you? Do you see it being harmful to your kids? Do you talk to your kids about it? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We had a caller, Lucy in Wapaka, who couldn't stay on. She wanted to ask, shouldn't it be on the parents, their responsibility to talk to their kids instead of making a company like Netflix make these changes? What do you think, Barbara?
Well, certainly, we know that parents are incredible influencers for their the young people they're raising, their children. But it shouldn't fall on parents alone. We know that as we work together as a community, as a society, to address the sources that contribute to tobacco use, we all benefit. And so parents are dealing with a lot, and absolutely, we always are in the position of providing parents with information and education how to talk about their kids. But we think that that role extends beyond parents to the larger community and to the larger, you know, public health community, medical community, if you will. In this case, to the media industry, the media community.
And we have the report out from your organization. We talked about that. And we have this letter from attorneys general. Have you heard from Netflix or other companies about possible changes in the works?
Well, we did see some positive movement after the release of our report. And we want to applaud Netflix for their response in stating that they'll dramatically reduce smoking imagery in their content. But we are cautiously waiting. They haven't posted their guidelines yet, and we look forward to seeing the details of that policy, how it will be implemented, and then, of course, of how it will be enforced. So more to come on that. Again, we're certainly encouraging. It was encouraging to see their statement, but we need to see how that comes into actual practice.
As you mentioned earlier, the report from your group isn't just about the streaming services. What did you find when you looked at network shows that were popular with this younger audience, the 15 to 24-year-olds? What kind of shows stood out as worrisome when it came to tobacco use?
Yeah, that's a great question. So tobacco incidents on broadcast and cable programming have also dramatically increased. We saw our top 2019 offenders in this category, Once Upon a Time, American Horror Story, and even Modern Family. And it's not just Netflix in terms of streaming. We also saw Amazon's award-winning The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and Hulu's Gap Year also topping our list.
Talking to Barbara Schillow from the Truth Initiative Schroeder Institute for Tobacco Studies, looking at the impact of smoking use and pop culture on young people, young potential smokers. They have a new report out, and attorneys general, including Wisconsin's, signed on to a letter asking content providers to change things, to show tobacco use less on their shows. Another caller couldn't stay on the line, wants to know, are tobacco companies providing funding for these shows or services, kind of like how cigarette companies used to sponsor shows in the past?
You know, this report does not address this, and so, yeah, so I don't necessarily have an answer for that, but I think the streaming companies say no, this report didn't really set out to answer that question. But clearly, you know, when it comes to imagery in all pop culture, this report focused on streaming, but we also have a series of other forums or formats for popular culture, including looking at media, video games, social media, and other content. And so the producers of those platforms, we believe, also have a responsibility, as does the industry in all of this, to ensure that young people are not being inundated with this kind of imagery.
Let's bring on a caller now. Ben is with us in West Salem. Ben, hi.
Hi. I was just listening to the conversation earlier, and I somewhat agree with what the lady being interviewed is saying, but I would just wonder, the content that you would like Netflix to help you moderate, and like possibly Amazon or whoever, this content that I'm observing and seeing as I'm downloading and watching stuff is well beyond the scope and range of the children that you're trying to not to smoke. You know, there's open, you know, sexual acts and violence well beyond the range of a 10 to a 16 to 13-year-old child who is, you know, really the main source you're concerned about, it seems, you know, before they get hooked. And I guess I would just ask how she would respond to that.
Ben, thanks for the call. So maybe these are shows that younger people shouldn't be watching for reasons unrelated to smoking, Barbara.
Yeah, well, great question, and thank you. You know, our report actually confirmed that the increase in tobacco depictions was greatest in content that was directed at TVY7, so younger than 7, and TVPG. So we found 176% increase in tobacco depictions for these shows overall, but it was a 379% increase in youth-rated programs when compared to previous year's data. And that's what's most troubling for us, is that, you know, youth-rated content. So I think a good observation and a good question, but our study really shows that this is an incredible level of exposure for programs that actually are designed for younger people.
In our last few minutes, Barbara, do you worry that if tobacco is normalized by being in shows like the ones we're talking about, it's going to turn the curve the other way? It could ultimately lead to losses in our anti-tobacco efforts?
You know, we certainly worry about anything that has the impact to undo all the gains and successes that we've had in reducing the level of harm to young people caused by tobacco products. So the studies that we've done so far have focused on combustible cigarettes, and that's what we've seen through the seasons that we've coded. But as we move forward, of course, e-cigarettes comes into play, and we anticipate that we'll see more depictions there. And so the attorney generals are right to call out in their letter that this is a particular concern given the increase in the rise in the use of e-cigarettes that is surging among young people in particular. And so, yes, we remain concerned about the depiction of combustible tobacco. And then I think we also are concerned extremely about the possible, you know, increased prediction or depiction of e-cigarettes.
Barbara, thanks a lot for joining us today. That's Barbara Shillow from the Truth Initiative Schroeder Institute for Tobacco Studies, talking about pop culture and tobacco use. Wisconsin's startup industry lags behind neighboring states, but Milwaukee's technology community is hoping to build on some small successes. Corrine Hess reports.
Moments before a recent wedding show in downtown Milwaukee, members of Jared Judge's string quartet were beginning to panic.
The one time that I didn't check to see if there was a set list.
A member of Judge's quartet was in a minor accident. Her car was towed, and inside was all of the music the group needed to perform.
We're just solving that problem right now. BookLive has our parts on it, so we're going to download them and print them right here.
BookLive is a social networking app that Judge developed with a partner while in grad school at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
Because that's the dream, is you just show up, play, and collect a nice check afterwards. But the reality of it is you have to learn to be a business person, too.
The lifelong musician also happened to be a self-taught computer programmer. BookLive looks similar to LinkedIn. The app helps other freelance musicians manage their schedules and keep track of their finances. It's free. And when a performer is paid through BookLive, Judge receives a portion of the transaction fee. So far, about 500 people have signed up. Matt Cordio is the founder and president of Startup Milwaukee and Startup Wisconsin. He says freelance musicians face the same challenges as startup companies.
Leveraging his experience kind of being a musician has been able to build this really great technology company that we hope obviously continues to grow and expand and scale way outside of Wisconsin.
BookLive picked up steam last year, winning competitions at UWM's Lubar School of Business and also gaining the attention of Milwaukee angel investor Jim Miller. Miller has invested $100,000 in BookLive. That set Judge's experience apart from a lot of entrepreneurs in Milwaukee. And Miller wants to change that.
The people with money have not invested in this community. They've gone to safer havens where entrepreneurs and tech-savvy people have proven success.
The Kaufman Index of Startup Activity has consistently ranked Wisconsin and Milwaukee near the bottom in business creation and growth compared to the rest of the country. Metropolitan Milwaukee ranked 39th in 2017. That's tied with Pittsburgh for the lowest ranked major metropolitan area. That same year, Wisconsin ranked last for larger state rankings. The state also ranked last in 2016.
You know, if you look at Silicon Valley, I mean, they invest millions and tens of millions of dollars or hundreds of millions. So even our bigger companies have been very, very modest in their investment here.
Miller says Judge's company intrigues him because the concept can be done anywhere in the world and translated to nearly any profession. Miller is one of the founding members of Xywav. That company was started in 1995, and with about 300 employees, it's one of Milwaukee's most successful technology startups. By comparison, Verona-based Epic has about 9,000 employees.
When you compare Dane County to Milwaukee County, we're not even on the map.
Cordio believes Milwaukee needs to be doing a better job of telling the rest of the country its success stories, the way Madison has. Cordio says there is untapped talent in Milwaukee, and some companies are beginning to take notice. Madison-based American Family Insurance plans to open an office in downtown Milwaukee.
Because they realize there is tech talent here, and we are in under, I think, at times, appreciated market.
Milwaukee may never be thought of as a destination for budding entrepreneurs, but the city's tech scene is growing, and boosters like Miller and Cordio believe the trend is likely to continue. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, a new report from the United Nations says agriculture faces a lot of threats from climate change, and changes to food and farming could be a big part of the solution. We'll talk to a Wisconsin expert. Mexico is calling on the U.S. to protect Mexican citizens in the U.S. after the mass shooting in El Paso. We'll find out more about the response from the Mexican government. And on Food Friday, Wisconsin is under a severe zucchini advisory, leaving cooks wondering to do with it all. Our guest has recipes and advice. That and more coming up tomorrow on Central Time.